We now come to our Bible reading, and I just ask you to join me in prayer. Lord God, in this dry and dusty place, pour out the power of your Spirit so that your word may blossom in our lives through Jesus Christ, our way in the wilderness. Amen. We have two readings today. The first one is from Ephesians chapter 4, 17 and 18. And then 20 to 24. And then the second reading is from Luke 10, 38 to 42. Ephesians 4, 17. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord. You should no longer walk as the Gentiles do in futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your old former way of life, your old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness, in righteousness and purity of the truth. And the second reading is from Luke. And while they were travelling, he entered a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. And the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading from his word.
Here we go. Hello, everyone. Today we're continuing in our series with the title Travel Light. What we're doing in this series is that we're looking at life as a journey. In particular, we're looking at the things... Oh, have I forgotten to send out the kids? Have we forgotten that? Please, kids, go to crash in Sunday school. We're looking at the things that tend to burden us and weigh us down as we're traveling along. From a spiritual point of view, these are the things that want to pull us away from the free, full, and forever life that Jesus offers. Jesus wants us to experience life to the fullest. But these things that burden us have the potential to rob us from this experience. And so we're asking the question, how can we let go of those burdens and return to a state of traveling light? You might remember Pastor Ian started us off 2 weeks ago talking about all the stuff that we accumulate, as in the literal physical stuff. All the things we think we need to be happy in life. The things on which we spend all the money which we don't have, and the very things that end up cluttering our homes and backyards and which become liabilities on our minds and hearts and souls. And then the week after that, we had Kim speak to us about the burden of bitterness. The bitterness that stems from all the difficulties, disappointments, and hardships that we encounter throughout the years. Broken promises, relationships gone wrong, hopes and dreams that never materialize, expectations that we cannot meet, wounds and hurts that others have inflicted on us. Today, though, we'll be looking at a slightly different kind of burden. Today, we'll be looking at distraction and how to let go of it. Now, at one level, we're all very familiar with the topic of distraction, I'm sure. Some would say that in all of human history, there's been never as much distraction around as today. Think of it, mobile phones, social media, unlimited games and entertainment on demand, information overflow, the constant need for multitasking, the loss of the ability to focus on anything which doesn't move or beep or scream at us. Even a quick search reveals a ton of articles and studies about how all our distractions negatively impact our productivity at work and even our safety, for example, on the road when driving a car. However, if we want to understand the true impact of distraction on our life, we need to dig deeper. We need to look beyond the surface level. Can the Bible tell us something about distraction? Well, let's have a look at a passage in the Gospel of Luke. This is only a short little story, but a very instructive one. We find it in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. While they were traveling, he, that is Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." This story is set in the context of Jesus' earthly ministry, as he's going from town to town, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and instructing his disciples. And at some point during those travels, Jesus enters a certain village where two sisters called Mary and Martha live. And from other Bible passages, we know that Mary and Martha were not strangers to Jesus. In fact, they were friends. And so Martha invites Jesus into her home, most likely to offer him and his disciples a meal. And Jesus accepts the invitation. So far, so good. At this point, we learn that the two sisters respond very differently to Jesus' presence. Martha knows that there's no time to be wasted, and she throws herself into action. Again, most likely what kept her busy was all the food preparations and the cooking that had to be done for the meal. Mary, however, does not work at all. Instead, she just sits at Jesus' feet and listens to him. Now, if we take into account the cultural context of the time, it really seems that Martha is doing everything right and Mary isn't. See, back then, hospitality was a huge thing, much bigger even than today. If you had someone over for dinner, you better made sure that they were well looked after in every respect. And the women in the home especially were seen as being responsible for all things to do with meal preparations, while the men would sit and with the guests and converse with them. And so we see Martha doing exactly what would have been expected of her, while Mary sitting at Jesus' feet seems strangely out of place. But here we encounter a first surprising element in the story. See, Luke, the gospel writer, says that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And we immediately ask, how so? Why would we see the work that Martha does as a distraction? What was she distracted from? Luke doesn't say that Martha's work had no purpose. Martha was actively and purposefully working towards getting a meal on the table for Jesus and for whoever else was there and needed to eat. Also, Luke doesn't say that Martha's work was slow or ineffective. Martha is not depicted as incapable or unproductive. For all we know, Martha is just a great host who's getting things done. Even from a modern perspective, we would want to commend her for the initiative which she shows, wouldn't we? After all, Martha is serving Jesus. And she's meeting a very real need that Jesus has in this moment. Because in his human nature, Jesus is getting hungry and he needs to eat. And certainly Martha herself is not aware of doing anything wrong either. In fact, she thinks that Mary should better get busy as well and should help with the cooking instead of hanging out with Jesus. In fact, Martha is so sure about this that she approaches Jesus and says to him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." We can feel the edge in Martha's question here, can't we? Jesus, don't you care? Don't you know? Why don't you take action and set things straight? Why don't you tell Mary to take her proper place and to help me so that I am not left alone all by myself out here in the kitchen? But Jesus' response is not what Martha expects, and probably not what we would have expected either. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." Martha wasn't lazy or slow. She was active. She was serving, meeting a real need. Yet in all of that, she was still distracted. Because whether we're distracted or not is all a question of perspective. It's a matter of priority. Being distracted means that our attention is being pulled away from something important to something else, which is less important. And as we become preoccupied with what is less important, we end up missing the things that really matter. See, from a biblical viewpoint, there is nothing more important than sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him. If we are disciples of Jesus, then he's speaking into our lives, and us taking the time to listen is our core priority. Even our works of service, important as they are, take second rank in comparison to this. Why? Because the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus, the daily whisperings of the Holy Spirit into our soul, this is our lifeline. It is what sustains us, what keeps us going. It literally is what keeps us alive, spiritually speaking. Remember the time when Jesus was in the desert, fasting for 40 days? I can't even begin to imagine how hungry he would have been at that point. And yet, when Satan tempts him and asks him to turn the stones into bread, we hear Jesus say, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Of course, Jesus isn't saying here that we don't need to eat. As human beings, we very much do need physical food, and Jesus needed food as well. But when God's Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, something more important was happening for him. As Jesus was being spiritually equipped for his mission, he temporarily let go of physical food in order to be fully available for the work that God the Father was doing in his life in that moment. Similarly, the story of Mary and Martha is not meant to tell us that our works of service are unimportant. In fact, if we look at Luke chapter 10, the same chapter where we have our story, we see that directly before that is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan is commended by Jesus for his action as he takes care of the wounded man lying at the side of the road. And yet, there is a priority on listening first. If we do not listen first to Jesus, if we don't get to know him intimately, if we don't let the Spirit nourish and equip us, we cannot truly serve. And the story of Mary and Martha illustrates this principle for us, because as much as Martha is portrayed as being active in her service, we cannot help but notice that things start going downhill for her as the story progresses. The many things that she is trying to accomplish start weighing her down. Although Luke doesn't tell us all the details of how everything unfolds, we can imagine how Martha is getting more and more stressed. We can see her getting anxious and eventually frustrated. And the questions are popping up in her mind. Why am I all alone in this? Why doesn't Mary jump in and help? And why doesn't Jesus, the great teacher, set things straight? Is he too busy with his own teachings to notice? And finally, all the frustration is getting the better of Martha, and it just bursts out of her. She wanted nothing more than to serve Jesus and to please him. And now this. How could things have gone so wrong? But Mary is the one who is commended by Jesus. Mary has recognized the significance of the moment. The Master is here, and he wants to speak. Come and sit at his feet and listen. Martha has missed the invitation because she got distracted. As we think about what it means to travel light, we recognize that we want to let go of distractions, but it is important that we look at this topic from a spiritual perspective rather than a worldly perspective only. There are many goals that we set ourselves in life, and even more ways to get distracted from pursuing these goals. But as Christians, there is only one highest goal and highest priority that we have, namely to walk faithfully with Jesus and ever more closely at his side, to listen to him, to obey him, and to love him. Jesus plainly tells us this: I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. You can do nothing without me. In order for us to stay connected with Jesus, like the branches that are connected with the vine, we need to sit at his feet and listen to his words. Anything that pulls our attention away from Jesus, that takes our eyes off him, is a distraction. And I'm not saying all we ever think about 24/7, every minute of the day, should only be Jesus and the Bible. But what I am saying is that we need to keep our priorities rightly ordered. Whether we're distracted or not is not only measured by how often we interact with our mobile phone. It's not merely about how much we are into social media or how many hours of Netflix we watch each week. In fact, we could be super productive in what we do. We could accomplish many things and still miss out on the thing that matters most. We could be highly successful in life and highly regarded by those around us, but miss out on Jesus' approval. We could have great experiences of happiness and excitement without ever tasting the real joy that God offers to us. What I want to ask you today is, do you feel connected with Jesus as the source of your life? Not just your biological life, but your spiritual life. Also, keep in mind, we're not talking here about some force or energy out in the universe that sustains us. We're talking about a person, the person of Jesus. Do you know him? Spend time with him? Listen to his words over your life? Are you being strengthened, empowered, and nourished in the Spirit? Are you aware that God may use any moment of your day to speak to you? And are you ready to listen? Do you also have some intentional times of listening, praying, reading the Bible, just opening that window of your soul and saying, God, I'm here. I'm listening. Please know that I'm preaching these things to myself as much as I'm preaching them to you. But if you do find that you're not really connected with Jesus in the ways that I've just described, then could it be that you've been distracted? Are there other things in your life that occupy your mind to such an extent that there isn't any room left for sitting at Jesus' feet? Know that the distractions in our lives come in all different sizes, shapes, and forms. It could be a goal that you have set for yourself and that you want to reach no matter what. A relationship that you feel you can't let go of. The constant search for the next adrenaline kick. Or maybe it is that Netflix series that you're so much into that it consumes all your time. On the other hand, maybe it's just the ever-present wear and tear of life. The constant pressure of the many responsibilities that you're carrying, the to-do lists that never shrink, but only ever grow. It could be so many things that become a distraction for you and take your eyes off Jesus. And the distractions that we allow to take root in our lives eventually become a burden to us. Just like Martha's many tasks became a burden to her. It may not feel that way initially. In fact, our distractions may feel great to us. Why shouldn't we sometimes let go of the heavy stuff in life and just have a good time? But keep in mind, I'm not simply talking about some time of relaxation. I'm talking about something that grows to an extent that it dethrones Jesus in your life. Something that starts to own you, to make you dependent. Jesus tells us a deep spiritual truth as he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you want to travel light? Then let go of your distractions. Let go of anything that hinders you from being connected with the living God, the one who truly gives life, who truly sets us free. But maybe you're thinking now, okay, I've been distracted, I can see the problem, but where is the solution? I don't think I have the strength to just turn my life around and suddenly be the perfectly attentive disciple of Jesus. And let me tell you, that's okay. Letting go of distractions step by step is part of our ongoing growth into spiritual maturity. We just do little steps, and God adds his blessing to our efforts to build us up in the faith. If you can identify something in your life right now that distracts you from Jesus, then maybe you can also think of a small step, just a small one. Something that you can do today or in the week ahead that will reduce your distraction and increase your attentiveness to Jesus and his words. And if nothing comes to mind, let me tell you about the one thing that you can always do. You can always turn to Jesus in prayer and ask him for help. In fact, I'd like to invite you, wherever you are right now, whether you're here with us in person or joining us online, and even if you're watching this at some point in the future, it doesn't matter because God is beyond any restrictions of time. Amen. But if there are distractions in your life that you'd like to let go of, why don't you join me in prayer? And there's no need for a show of hands or saying anything aloud. Just join me quietly in prayer, and the God who sees the heart will hear you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I have been distracted. Instead of listening to your voice, I've set my mind on other things. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge this, and I am here to say that I am sorry. Lord, I pray that you would help me to change. Teach me to turn my attention to you. Help me to see where in my life I can make space for you to enter. Increase in my heart the longing for your presence so that I would cherish it above all else. Amen. Earlier this morning, as we started our service, we lit the third Advent candle. And this candle is the candle of joy. And truly, those who trust in the Lord have every reason to be joyful, because Jesus' burden is light. His yoke is easy. There is no need now to look elsewhere for happiness and satisfaction. No need to hold on to other things which distract us from his voice. In Jesus, we know that God is with us. He is our Emmanuel. As we listen to his voice with undivided attention, as we pursue his presence with single-minded focus, we will be equipped to run the race of faith to the end, traveling light as we go, and Christ will safely lead us home. Let me close with a prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are with us, helping us to travel light. We thank you for each life-giving word that you speak to us along the way. Thank you, Lord, for the story of Mary who sat at your feet listening to your voice. Help us that we would learn from her example. Help us let go of the things that distract us, that become burdensome to us. Strengthen us that we might fix our eyes on you, giving you our undivided attention, that you might lead us safely home, and that we might bring glory to your holy name. Amen.